What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel, hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy, Joel Ortiz, and I want everybody to make sure that they subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Yo, Tim, I hope all is well. You my guy. I know these interviews are not interviews. They're actually conversations, and I appreciate them all. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It is fucking official. All right? Stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It's cold.
Supreme, the new album, is Love Jones. Welcome to Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So I'ma do my thing, I'ma do my thug this one. This one for my niggas from college, from the line, and it's impoverished, so we can do our thing. Man, I've been smoking hella strains of the grain. So I'ma do my thing, I'ma do my thug thizzle. And right now I'm feeling real good in the hood. I'ma do my thing, I'ma do my thug thizzle. Feed my niggas from the college, from the line, and that's impoverished. Just so we could do our thing, we could do our thug thizzle.
Cool, so I was trying to figure out, that intro was short because I was trying to figure out the best way to introduce you. So I thought I should ask you. Like, if someone asks you who is Supreme, what is your response to them?
Well, who is Supreme? Well, man, I'm just a kid from Staten Island, New York, that I grew up raised by my mom's a strong single mother, and just, you know, being poverty stricken, yo, I feel like just coming from that environment, it just gave me so much wisdom, gave me so much knowledge. My pops, you know, he named me Supreme Intelligence, Great God, Allah Coles, so I try to live up to that name as much as I can. Like I said, I went to college in 2014, so, you know, my goal is just to be the wisest person. So that's Supreme, bro. I just try to be the smartest person in the room at all times.
So before we get into the EP, I want to read opening lyrics from a different track that's not on the EP from you. I think I was on your YouTube page and there's a few stuff that came out. And the lyrics start out like this. They go, I walk around with compositions for competition. It was never rhymes in it. I'll be sketching the day. And these lyrics are from the heart. And when you read these lyrics, to me, it tells me that you're approaching this not just as... You're approaching it as an art form. You're not approaching it as some kid who sees rap being the number one genre and wants to get on that, you know?
Yeah.
So can you just talk quickly about who were your influences, but also who taught you to approach rap not just as a popular genre, but also as this art form?
Well, you know, growing up, my whole family is really musically inclined, so... Just growing up with that perception right there, it always gave me like an artistic expression. And just speaking about my experiences, man, you know, I that's the only way I can know how to make music. And speaking about my experiences, I'm a very artistic dude. I like a lot of old R&B and a lot of old movies, even more. I love watching movies. I get all my, like, a lot of inspiration from a lot of old movies, like 60 movies and stuff like that. So, that's really... where I get a lot of my inspiration from.
Turning to the EP, you know, you're the EP starts out with your son of Ghostface, right? So the EP starts out with a voicemail from him.
Every time is precious, man. Every day is precious and shit, whether we know it or not, man. It's they be saying a lot, don't do miracles no more. Waking up is a miracle, bro. You know what I mean? Being able to hear, see, touch, smell, speak. Is a miracle.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's one of Allah's miracles, but we look for bigger miracles, like something that's big. How big is a miracle compared to you not being able to speak or see?
Exactly.
Or even wake up. Give a fuck about whatever miracle you talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is real shit.
Can you first talk about the importance of the album title, Love Jones?
Okay, so Love Jones, it started off with just like, it was the concept around like all of my old relationships. And then like, you know, just a lot of my family relationships and everything. But a lot of the things didn't apply to my life at the time when I wanted to drop the project. So I had to switch the concept to basically like, everything is a Love Jones, you know, like Love Jones with my mom, like my sister, my brother, everybody that I get a good vibe with, I feel comfortable and I feel happy when I'm around them. And I feel like that's relatable everywhere, you know, so I wanted to create that vibe. I didn't really know what to call it, but Love Jones, like I said, is one of my favorite movies if you ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted to create that vibe right there.
You know, we obviously mentioned that the opening track, you know, is it's Miracles. It's voicemail from your dad, and you know, it's like if we did not know Ghostface was your dad. I hope this makes sense. You hear Ghostface on a track, and you're like, all right, this is an automatic cosign from, you know, one of the best MCs to ever do it, right? but then we know it's your dad, right? So then it's like, all right, so this is a heartfelt message from Supreme, the artist's dad, no matter if he's Ghostface or not, this is still a heartfelt message, right?
Yeah.
Why? And it works. Like, it works either way. It works as a, and I'll tell you this later, but it works as this entire, having this conversation with your dad in the track, it just, you forget that it's Ghostface. You're just hearing this wonderful conversation between son and father. Why do we start out this EP with a voicemail from your dad?
Well, I felt like it was necessary, you know, not to get too detailed, but, you know, we had a rough relationship a while back, a long time ago, but just getting older, having a son, going to college, and learning how to accept what's unfair in life, you know, I just took it upon myself to try to forget about or just try to move past a lot of these things that, you know, that fathers and sons sometimes go through in today's day and age. But so I felt like it was really necessary because I wanted to clear up a lot of unspoken questions that I felt like was floating around, and for myself. And music is the only way I really know how to express myself. So if I'm around people that I really, really care about, or if I admire them and I look their opinion, sometimes I may not know what to say at the right moment, you know? So I have to capture it in my music just to get to some people's ear clearly, you know? So I felt like it was very necessary.
The second track, Prince Akeem, it's another great track that you do, and I what I really like about it is that it's you spitting 2 minutes and like 20 seconds right of straight lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last minute is you never come back. You just, you know, you just let the beat play out. Can you kind of talk about why this lyrical silence at the end?
Well, I just wanted people to feel the beat, like, so it's a groovy tape. I don't really know how to explain it. It's not really that much backpack rap. It's not like a lot of gangster rap or anything like that. But it's very groovy and it makes you want to dance. So that track right there, of course, there's no hooks. So just by going for so long, like you said, I just felt like it was no need to come back. I felt like the track was, the instrumental felt good enough, you know, to just leave that vibe. So, but when I do things like that, man, it's just really how I'm feeling at the moment. Sometimes I don't even think about it. So, like, I'll just finish the line and be like, all right, that feels good. But if I feel like it needs more, you know, I'll keep going.
Are you an artist that, you know, you have a bunch of lyrics kind of in store and archives, and then you just looking for that perfect beat? Or are you hearing that perfect beat and then kind of writing to it?
A little bit of both, but I would say that I'm more of, I like riding the instrumental. I like hearing the instrumental, and if it speaks to my soul, then I could definitely, I could write something to it right then and there. So I like hearing the instrumental for sure.
To the track Oh No, and it's just this thing I really, ever since Jedi Mind Tricks did the track Animal Rap,
mm-hmm.
I really like when artists uses like classical music or violins, right, in hip hop, and the track Oh No does a great job of that with you. I mean, it's kind of perfectly, there's a violin or some sort of string in the instrumental that kind of takes on the journey with you, and your lyrics and your voice kind of complement it perfectly. I mean, you guys both complement each other perfectly. Can you talk about creating this track and kind of what did you think when you first heard? I mean, not just the instrumental, but maybe even the violin.
Yeah, so when I heard this track, man, all of the beats, actually, when I heard all of the beats, bro, I got a certain goosebump feeling. But Oh No, I wrote that in my junior year in college. I wrote that a while ago, actually. But yeah, when I heard that beat, man, it just gave me goosebumps. It just gave me goosebumps. I don't really know what else to say. Like, that was it was a real knocking beat. I could really, it's so much pockets in there to where I could like dip out, like in and out with flows. So, yeah, and I love beats like that, that just got a lot of drops to it. Like, that's my thing. If you ain't know, that's 100,000. Ready or not, I done got my fade to rock. Cop a pound, break it down, now who ready to shop? In my Bergen, baking bitches with my baby to cock. It's alright, I don't treat them like I inherit the ops. Because I've been down at Morgan State, learning from my smooth bros. Professionals overcoming obstacles with new joes. Learning we can conquer the impossible, a new goal. Trying to get my new road, chicks giving us kudos. It ain't really nothing, I'm drawing like a forgotten.
You know, we talk about, obviously I mentioned your dad being on the opening track of this album, and you've created, you know, you weave conversations throughout this EP with your dad. And I think what you do kind of, what you really do brilliantly is that, you know, the average fan or the fan will hear Ghostface like, oh shit, that's Ghostface, right? But what you do perfectly here is that you are able to take this, I don't know if this makes sense, the stardom away from your dad and make him seem like a regular father who was just working a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. Was this challenging for you to do? Like, I mean, because, you know, I imagine you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be in the shadows of, you know, your parents, right? So is this a challenging thing to do when you're trying to create an album like this?
Not at all. So like I said before, all of my music derives from just my personal feelings at that moment. So I didn't even know that was going to be on a tape, like the whole conversation. I just know that I wanted to listen to myself in response just for personal reasons. So, you know, to see if I said anything out of pocket or anything, that's just how I do with some conversations. So when I was thinking of the skips to put on the tape and I'm going through my voice memos and everything, and I heard it, it was just perfect at the time. Because I didn't really know what else to put on there. And then me and him, we just started mending our relationship a few years ago. So it was just a perfect thing. Like, and like I said, being that we are talking now, I wanted to answer a lot of questions. So when I heard it, it was a no-brainer. Like, I had to put him on there.
All right, so what is Thug Thizzle?
Okay, Thug Thizzle. Thug Thizzle was basically, in a nutshell, basically saying whatever God hands to me, whatever test he's giving me, I'm going to pass it, and I'm going to do it with steez. You know, that's always my thing. I gotta be the flyest person, the wisest person. I got to do it with steez. So, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, but I don't go to church every day or go to the mosque every Friday as I should. You know, so I just like talking to him even through my music, you know. So that was even a spiritual track in its grooviness. No, and one.
Was that the first track that you wrote for this EP?
Say that one more time.
Was that the first track that you wrote for the EP?
No. The first track that I wrote was Take a Chance. Yeah, Take a Chance.
Can you talk about that process in terms of like when did you start penning it and then when did you know that this was going to be you know, a full song for the album?
Okay, so yeah, so that was right after my last project. It was called The Goat. So this was a long time ago. And it was like right after one of my past relationships, as soon as I got to college, and that really hurt me. So I was getting past from that and going into a new relationship. And it was basically saying like, all right, I'm getting over this one. But then now I'm preparing for the next girl that may take that role, you know, because that's just how I am. You know, I'm a one man, one girl. I'm a lover boy, to be funny about it. But yeah, so the next person that was going to take that role, they, that was basically just me hitting at that.
Think about it. Is music some sort of therapy for you? I mean, I asked this because I remember many moons ago, you know, one of my first girlfriends in college, you know, we went well and then we broke up and then I got, you know, hit hard with it, right? Like it was just like, you know, and you're trying to figure out like how do you get out of that funk, so to say, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that, you know, writing kind of is your therapy, your medicine?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, definitely. You know, we live in a world right now where mental health is at an all-time high. So, and you know, music speaks to your soul. And I feel like without music, it'd be a lot more chaotic than it is right now. So I definitely got to listen to music every day. And being that I write music, I got to use it to express myself. You know, I just have to. It has to be therapy for me.
I mean, this entire EP is heartfelt, and you ended with the track "Thankful," which is like, I mean, as someone who's like you just kind of bared your soul on the table to the listeners on this one. Can you talk about the first track on that? The first verse of that that record. But also, I was trying to figure out, is it about you? Is it about someone else? Can you talk about that first verse?
Yeah, it's about me. So like I said, when I was first started creating the tape, it was about a lot of past relationships that I had to overcome. And I was one of them. I was an old relationship that I was with a female for a long time, a real long time. And when we got to college, we just grew apart. We got older, we got curious, we grew apart, and I wasn't dealing with it as well as I should. So I always held on to it, you know. So, but even now that I'm over it, it helped me as a man and growing and learning how to treat women and things like that. So that was a lesson from that relationship that will always stick with me. So I had to put that first. And then the second relationship, you know, obviously it's me and my dad. And being that we wasn't talking for so long, and I wanted, you know, just any kid, any active guy wants an active dad, you know, so I wanted that for a while. And then I became a dad, and like I said, graduating and everything, it just made me want to just push everything to the side, because I always didn't want that what if feeling, you know, what if something happened today or tomorrow and we didn't get a chance to do what we wanted to do, or me spend enough time together. So that's, those are the two lessons, you know, that from that, learning how to treat women and just learning how to forgive. There's two major things in my life right there to where I had to merge them two together.
You know, this a few years back, I interviewed Joel Ortiz, and he has a, you know, he has a record called "Learn You," and I think what's great about that song is that, and he, you know, we talked about it during the interview, but he said, you know, like, he remembers playing it for his kids the first time, and it's really like an apology to his kids to be like, you know, I wasn't around because I was trying to, you know, have a career, and and I wasn't, you know, wasn't the greatest of all, greatest I could be. And what's, so this track, "Thank You," kind of reminds me of that, but it reminds me of that in a way that it's the kid's response to the, you know, to the dad as the artist. Is there, now that you're, you know, your dad, but you're also an artist yourself, and writing that track, do you have more of an understanding of, you know, just your dad being away as much as he probably, I mean, I imagine he was, because he was trying to set up this incredible, you know, I mean, obviously hip hop wise, he was setting up this amazing life. But is there more of an understanding of that work life balance now that you kind of, you know, you're writing lyrics and you're, you know, you're a dad yourself?
Yeah, man. I feel like it took me to get older to even see it that way as well. You know, because when you're young, you only see the things that you want to see. But when you're older, you could try to see it from all sides of the table. So when I got older and I started to really understand the way that he was brought up, you know, understanding the things that he had to go through, I didn't have to go through a lot of the things that he had to go through. So I started thinking about how would that impact your decisions? How would that make you, you know, do things that you may have not really wanted to do, you know? So I'm not justifying anything, but it does make me, like you said, understand it 100 times more. So, you know, and it makes me feel more comfortable that way. So, yeah.
Did you, prior to releasing this EP to the public, did you play it for him, this track?
Yes, I played it for him.
Could I ask what his reaction was?
he actually liked it, you know? He actually liked it because, like I said, we had a relationship now. It was better than it ever could be. So I explained my feelings to him just like how I just did. And I played it for him. And respectfully, you know, if you didn't want me to put it out, it wouldn't have been out. But he liked it a lot. And, you know, and that was really all he said. He just said he liked it and he don't mind if the world hear it. Yeah.
There's a couple, you know, there's lyrics on that track that, you know, and that I really enjoy, and I'm not gonna ask you more about the track, but, you know, like, I think just very powerful short lyrics. But I'm sorry, but this music is how I get you ear pop. I think is like one of the most, just, you know, just saying, it says so much, you know.
Yeah.
And it talks, I think it really just talks about your artistry, but also kind of finding this common, you know, common thing, you know, something common that you guys could actually, you know, talked about or work through. As I said, there's a lot of lyrics on this EP that I really enjoy. And for someone who can't write lyrics to save his life, I have to ask you this question. Are there lyrics, is there a lyric on this EP that you are like, oh shit, I can't believe I wrote that, you know, type thing? Like you hear it and you're like, God, I'm good, you know?
Well, not any specific lyrics, but when I listen to Control, I love that song so much, man, because it's like a movie to me. Like it's like I wake up, go throughout my day, and then I end it off, and everything is so smooth. I start talking in the middle of the song, like just a regular conversation. I just throw a movie line in there, and then I get right back on flow. So it's like yeah, that whole track in itself always makes me just want to dance, and it gives me goosebumps at the same time. Like I know when I shoot the video to that, it's going to be extremely crazy.
So, you know, this track is, we say this, you know, Love Jones, it's called an EP. Is there an album in the works for you? I mean, is there tours now that things are opening up again?
Well, yeah, we got four more projects dropping before the year ends. And then I'll, the actual album will probably drop at the beginning of next year. But, yeah, like I'm just trying to set up tours and everything right now. Just still trying to get my foot in the door. You know, we just came, the city just opened back up. So everything is not moving as fast as it should right now. But however, you know, we're making noise and, you know, we're just going to keep dropping and just try to keep everything flooded. See where it takes us.
I know you're, you went to school in 2014 and you graduated. Is there a, I mean, did you, I guess my final question is school for you or the degree, is that the backup plan for you? Or is it just something that you've kind of, you know, you know, being a student of hip hop, I think, right, of the music industry, is that something that you would hope more artists do versus just trying to put all their eggs in one basket type thing?
Definitely. So I wasn't feeling like that at first. I went to college just specifically for my mom and to be a role model to my little sister. But So when I got to my junior year, I had to like be reminded by my chairperson because I switched my major 3 times. I was a marketing major, then I was a psychology major, then I was a sociology major, and that's what I got my degree in. But when I got to sociology, it was just so easy at that point because, you know, like right now we're socializing. So it's not, it wasn't really no studying that I had to do at that point. But what really helped me was I had a meeting with my chairperson, Miss Dr. Hargett. And she was basically telling me that you got to find something in school that works for you. I know you came here for good reasons, but you got to find something that works for you. And that's when I started writing my music as like my projects and different presentations and everything. So it really got easy at that point because I wanted to quit, you know what I'm saying, in the middle. So when it got so easy, that's when I'm like, all right, bet I could actually use this for something, because I didn't plan on using my degree at all. I just came here strictly for the experience, you know, and I learned a lot from my peers than I did from any professor. So, so now, like, I'm thinking about doing, like, just to give you an insight in the future, like different studies on like how music affects people and different things like that, just because I got my degree and it to be, you know, published and things. So I do plan on trying to get more people to go to college and things.
That's dope. You know, the new EP is Love Jones. The artist is Supreme. It's an incredible work of art. And also I encourage people to delve deeper into not just the EP but other stuff you've released, because it's all lyrical, you know, it's lyrical gems, so to say. Supreme, thank you so much for being on Live Air Wrapped at Hip Hop Interviews with Tim and Kill. I greatly appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate you, man. It's been a great experience, man. For real, man, I appreciate it so much.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Wrapped, the hip hop interview with Tim Ioncal. It is fucking official. Alright? Stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap. The hip hop interviews with Tim Ioncal. It's cold.
Thankful, there's no words to really rank you. You're not a bird, you was a dove, yeah, you an angel. You wasn't really giving out lust, I wasn't giving out trust. That's how you earned your stripes. You was a bangle, but somehow you blaming me, like you ain't staying with me, like you stayed to the grain with me. Now you burnt to the eighth degree, cause every time I rock a show at the school, they like, hey, it's D. Most motherfucker host, give a toast, motherfucker. Lord Casper, nope, it ain't ghost, motherfucker. It's been over a year, where'd you go, motherfucker? We ain't seen you since you last dropped the GOAT, motherfucker. Check, I've been on a mission, I'm wishing for Nina Mosley. You only get three good girls before you blow it. So next lay round, I'ma get her and keep her closely. And then Darius will go back to being the poet. I was fucked up, plus I was stuck. Stalks the king, hit the block and still scraped up, kicked up. Never thought I'd see the day we break up. Now my rocks made but lame, hoping we make up. But I'm done with that. Me and Pops dropped a few years back. Me and Pops let the calls stop a few years back. Me and Pops let the ball drop a few years back. Me and Pops let it all stop a few years back. Feel that, dear Pop, it's not about the Learjets. It's not about the money. It's not about all the damn checks. It's not about the fame. It's not about always working. Not about what you have. It's about you as a person. Let me learn you something. Dear Pop, it's all about the time you wasn't here. Yes, all about me dealing with women and how it feels left. All about me gaining this knowledge and how I feel less. All about this unsold work that leave a man stressed. Yeah, check it all about. That's what it's all about. I never thought that texting would result to us falling out. I see it as a blessing. It was nothing to sort it out. Even though me and Omi had it rough, we be balling out. Dear Pop, it's all coming clear, Pop. I'm sorry, but this music's how I get to your ear, Pop. And I ain't disrespectful. I just speak like a man, Pop. I see you in the mirror every time that my beard drop. And if you ever need me, man, I'll be right here, Pop. Believe me, I ain't greasy. I ain't going nowhere, Pop. See, I just really hope that we could be best friends. But all I know is God told me to be the bigger man, Pop. So hip hop, I'm sorry for the time I said fuck you. I'm thankful that your music is something I could look up to. I'm sorry that for everything said, we ain't rumble. Cause when you hurt my mama, you know you deserve a karma. But know that my soul's opposed to murder drama. Damn, I forgot that. I ain't even finished that drama. You can stop that, hold up.